is Nation Radio with Alan Mitchell, a.k.a. Low Tide. Presented by Edmonton Motors.
Only on Edmonton Sports Radio.
Team 1260.
It's 12:29. Oilers in action. Battle of Alberta in Calgary tonight. That's the second game of Hockey Night in Canada's triple header. Montreal ahead of New Jersey right now. A little bit of time left in the second period. 1-0 on a goal by Max Pacioretty. Vancouver plays at Ottawa at 5 o'clock our time today. Also Winnipeg at Detroit at 5. Boston Columbus should be interesting. And San Jose St. Louis as well. Those are early games. And then the later game, Edmonton Calgary, of course, and Dallas LA should be interesting too. So a pretty full afternoon and evening of hockey. And as well, of course, we'll be talking to Corey Graham in hour number two. Edmonton Oil Kings in action. What a team they are this year. First in their conference right now in the WHL. They're a fun team to watch. I caught them the other night, and they played the Calgary game when they were playing the Hitmen. And, man, they are an interesting, fun team to watch. And I think they're going to catch fire because the team is first in the conference right now. Everybody's talking about them, and we need more fans of the game. We'll talk to Corey about that. But, man, that's an interesting story that I think people are going to be. In the second half of the year after Christmas, everybody's going to get pumped for the Edmonton Oil Kings. Could be a very long run into the playoffs. And who knows? You know, once you get in there against some of those other teams, Edmonton Oil Kings could make a lot of noise here coming in the spring. Speaking of lots of noise, I'm pleased to welcome to our show today Ryan Lambert, who's been all over the internets with funny stories and interesting items. Ryan, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks.
Well, you know, I got to first of all talk about this Alexander Ovechkin thing, because Diggity sent in an email here about an hour ago. So I'm gonna ask you this question, okay? Do you or Ryan, this is me and you, have any rationale as to why there hasn't been a hearing regarding Ovechkin and his spear on Chris Neal? If there was ever an intent to injure, Ovechkin, in my opinion, does so with that spear. I know there's been no disciplinary action. That came out shortly after the play. What's your feeling on that Ovechkin play?
I mean, I don't think it's too much of a stretch to say that there are problems with the NHL supplementary discipline system. Like, they missed that hit by, who was it, Bourdon on Nate Gerby the other day. There was no hearing on that. It's just one of those things where, you know, they're not going to get everything, and certainly Ovechkin probably pled it, you know, could plead the case that it was just part of his normal skating stride. And again, we have to be realistic to where, you know, Alex Ovechkin, regardless of his production, is a star in the league, and stars are always going to get preferential treatment. So, I mean, how many times did Ovechkin, you know, go knee-to-knee with people and stuff like that and never get anything? So it's just one of those things where the second it happened, you had to go. He's not going to get any kind of discipline out of that.
No. You made a little bit of news with Ovechkin and some reports on the internet and some steroid talk, too. Tell me, walk me through that, would you?
Sure. I think it was last Saturday or Sunday, this guy who writes a column in, like, a couple of newspapers around Pittsburgh wrote a column saying, hey, you know, Alex Ovechkin's not doing really well this year, and could it be steroids? I think so. And he had a lot of very specious facts about, you know, saying he was connected to a doctor that who got busted for trying to bring steroids across the border, who Ovechkin was, like, not connected to in any way. Like, there weren't even, like, rumors about it, really. And this guy just said concrete, right down the middle, he was connected to this guy. So I called him out on a column I write every week for Puck Daddy, and he was upset, so I had to go on his radio show, and he yelled at me for 25 minutes.
I heard the interview, and what I find interesting was he never really got – he said a lot of things, but he never really got – I didn't think he made a conclusive point about anything that he had said, having anything factual behind it. Did I miss something, or did he just yell at you for 25 minutes?
No, he would argue that he doesn't need to prove the facts. I believe what he said was the facts don't matter or something along those lines. Just basically saying, like, it's his opinion, and his opinion is that Alex Ovechkin did steroids, and it's, like, up to someone to prove to him that he didn't. basically.
So sort of like a prove a negative sort of thing.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
So now, out of that, were you the one that started the rumor that Sidney Crosby is a vampire?
Well, you know, along the same lines, I said, you know, if you can just say that the burden of proof is on Alex Ovechkin to prove, or anybody, I guess, to prove that Ovechkin isn't on steroids, prove to me that Sidney Crosby's not a vampire. It's an equally ridiculous thing to say, in my opinion, without any evidence at all. So if he wants to just start throwing around accusations like that, you know, prove to me that Sidney Crosby doesn't feast on the blood of the living.
Well, it was one of the more entertaining things that I read this week, so I wanted to draw attention to it. Before we get to the Calgary Flames and the Edmonton Oilers and the Battle of Alberta, it's been an interesting couple of weeks for the Flames. They've added Blake Como for basically nothing, and it's not like they're in a hot streak, but the Flames look like they're turning things around. Aginla certainly had a good game the other night. There was a gorgeous pass to Jokinen for a big goal. Is this the beginning of that period of time where Oiler fans have to endure the Flames' annual hot streak that gets them close to the playoffs?
Well, I mean, maybe, you know, because you never know with a team like Calgary where they're all like in their mid-30s or whatever, but at the same time, they did it last year, and they certainly haven't really changed up the personnel too much, so I don't think that they're incapable of going on a hot run. Well, any team, I guess, in the league could do it, but I don't know. I just, the key is getting close to the playoffs, like you said, instead of, you know, actually making it, and I don't think anybody has anything to worry about on that front.
So for the Flames, I always wonder about, and I've talked to Kent Wilson about this at length, but I always wonder about, you know, you're in that horrible spot the Oilers were in for so many years where you're 8th to 10th, and sometimes you get in and often you don't. And, you know, you've got Aginla, who's getting a little older, Kiprasov already offloaded Regier. Feaster says he's not going to rebuild, and we understand that, and they do have some talents like Berchi. Is this a season where the Flames are once again going to go through the trade deadline without offloading one of those high-priced veterans in order to gain younger assets and draft picks?
I mean, that's every indication the organization has given that they think Aginla, you know, even at 34 years old or whatever he is, 33, 34, they think he's part of the solution. And, I mean, I understand from a monetary perspective what Aginla brings to the team, and the owner is certainly, and it's going to be a tough sell offloading, you know, your most popular player in maybe franchise history, or like in Kiprasov's case, you know, a former Vezina winner who got them to the Stanley Cup Finals 7 years ago. Like, I think that there's just that romance of the 2004 season that everybody holds on to, that, you know, without kind of acknowledging everybody's 7 years older now than they were at the time.
Right.
And I think that's the only issue, that they still believe those players are the players they were 5-7 years ago.
Yeah, I think for Oiler fans, we're just waiting for this team to die. And I don't mean that in a negative way, but it's like 2003-04 was a long time ago. You know, and it seems like they've been sputtering and trying. And, you know, the Oiler fans are used to that, because, you know, that was the Waite, Smith, Guerin era, where you were always trying to get into eighth place. But with the cupboard being, from what we can tell, somewhat bare, are the Flames really in danger if they continue along this road of, you know, having a forced rebuild, much like what happened to the Oilers during the 2009-10 season, where they ended up obviously going to be a picking one or two?
Oh, of course, yeah. I mean, how long are you going to hold on to a bunch of guys in their mid to late 30s at this point? You know, how long are you going to sit there and go, we didn't make the playoffs this year, but we were so close, so let's keep the same team and go at it again? Like, they should have started the rebuild 2 years ago or whatever. I mean, they just haven't managed personnel well. They haven't recognized the shortcomings of the organization, and it's just one of those things where if they don't do it soon, they're going to be one of the teams that's finishing, you know, 14th, 15th in the conference for the next 6 or 7 years.
I always felt that Matt Stajan was a player who could be useful because of, you know, some two-way ability. He's cold again, 0 points in his last six games. Is he absolutely, I know he's not tradable, but is he a guy that there's no hope for, or is there any hope that he's going to turn it around and become the player that maybe when they signed the contract they hoped he'd be?
I can't imagine a scenario in which that happens. I mean, how many years of him being completely ineffective do you need before you just say, well, that's the end of that? You know what I mean?
Right.
It's just, he's done so little. And even when he's looked, you know, good production-wise, I don't think that anybody would sit there and say that he's had a run of like 5 or 6 really good games worthy of that contract that he's put together since he came to Calgary, not even since signing that contract. So I don't know. I think it's a lost cause.
One thing that I've noticed about the Flames since the Blake Comeau acquisition is that they've got enough good players, you know, Morrison, Stempniak, Iginla, Jokinen, Bork, Lindcross, Comeau, that they can come at you a little bit in waves and then have that fourth line energy line. Is the depth better now for the Flames than it has been in some times? Because that's what it looks like.
Yeah, I mean, I really like the Comeau acquisition because he's what, like an early 20s guy? He scored a bunch of goals last year, and it like you said, it cost him nothing. You know, it just cost him the money of picking up his contract. So I think that, you know, he was not maybe in the best situation. He was off to a slow start on the island, and just, you know, having the ability to come to Calgary and help out without being so much the guy. I mean, there's obviously the Islanders have like Tavares and Molson and all that, but Comeau, you know, was kind of maybe asked to do more than he is capable of,
mm-hmm.
a little bit, I think. And, you know, so having the ability to kind of fade into the background to an extent has helped him and obviously Calgary itself.
So final question for you. You are a blogger, sure. and Jay Feaster, yep. has you know, kind of called out bloggers as guys in the basement in their underwear. Do you have a basement and do you own underwear?
I do own underwear.
Okay.
I live on the third floor though, so I don't. I have like closets.
So you're not the gaunch blogger then?
No, I'm not. I'm not. I don't live at my parents' house or anything like that.
Okay.
So unfortunately, I hate to bust up the stereotypes.
Okay. Do you have your own bank account and keys to?
Oh yeah.
Okay. All right. I just needed to check on that because we're trying
that's totally fair.
Okay, because we're trying to, you know, we're just trying to help Jay Feaster here, really, you know. So
yeah, well, you got to separate the wheat from chaff. I understand.
Ryan, thanks for this so much, and we'll have you back. Have a great day.
All right, you too. Thanks a lot.
Okay, Ryan Lambert from Puck Daddy and Flames Nation. Interesting guy. And if you haven't read the whole fiasco about what happened with Ovechkin and the calling out and all of that stuff, it is on Puck Daddy, and it's fascinating stuff because there's no no evidence at all. But that's how it rolls. Anyway, that was fun. We're going to have a lot more happening here before 2 o'clock today. We're going to talk to Kent Wilson in hour number 2 about the Battle of Alberta. Also, Corey Graham about those Edmonton Oil Kings. Wow, they are on fire. And up next, Danny Gray from Leafs Nation. We'll get an update on that crazy deal that went down and how it'll impact how I'm just hoping that there's more Leafs coverage for everybody. That's the key. This is Nation Radio presented by Edmonton Motors.